This world, let's try, right? Hashalom Baruch, all we can do is try in this world. Right? As real today, that's all we can do in this world. So try. All right, so let's try. Always pay vav in Sichos Haran. And it's rest of wedding practices, Rabbi Nachman's wedding practices. Let me just read you, I want to just read you by way of introduction. You know, there's a sefer called Tashbetz Katan. The Tashbetz was a student of the Maharam Rutenberg. Was the Rebbe of the Rosh. And the Maharam Rutenberg is really one of the important Rishonim in terms of Piskei Halacha. Maharam Rutenberg was taken into captivity. He was taken away to this palace, this dungeon, this strange whole story of the captivity of the Maharam. And some of his students were able to visit him. So the Tashbetz was able to visit him, and he asked him different questions. And he recorded in a sefer called Tashbetz Katan hundreds of Piskei Halacha of the Maharam Rutenberg, okay, which were shared with him in his state of captivity. And he explains there, he says that, you know, you should just realize that everything that we do at a wedding is modeled after the wedding of the Jewish people in Hashem. I think I mentioned last week at the Vilna Gaon Shir. And one of the greatest, most unusual things is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us as his Kala. It's hard to imagine. Why do we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos, on the day of Kabbalah Satorah? Because Rus is the ultimate example of an unlikely shidduch. Here you have Boaz, who's a shofet. You have Rus, who's this non-Jewish princess who seems to have lost her way. Right? It's the most unlikely of circumstances that bring them together. And yet Mashiach comes from that relationship, from that merger. So in a certain sense, we read that on Shavuos to answer the question, how could it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us as his bride? It doesn't make any sense. So we read the story of Rus and Boaz and say, this also doesn't make any sense. Right? Gemara actually says, it's going to sound funny, but the Gemara says that a person should be nachas darga, a person should go down a level, nasiv itza, and marry a woman. He should lower himself to get married. Right. So first of all, right, it's addressing the gaiva of men. Right. Any men think, I don't know, I like doing my own thing, I'm going to get married, I have all these responsibilities. So the Gemara says, okay, you should lower yourself to get married. But really, of course, the woman who you're going to marry is greater than you. Right. But in your gaiva, men are gaivistic, so they think they're great. So the Gemara says, okay, lower yourself, marry someone beneath your level. Is what the Gemara says. What's the source for that? What's the source of marrying someone beneath your level? Hashem marrying Klal Yisrael at Har Sinai. That's the source, right? For marrying someone beneath your level. So the marriage of Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people, and Hashem at Har Sinai becomes sort of the basis for all weddings. Actually, it's interesting. If you look at the trup on the words Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, Hashem came down in Har Sinai. You know what the trup is? It's a darga savir. What does that literally mean? Darga, your madrega savir, should be broken. Darga savir. Darga savir means break your madrega. In other words, lower yourself. Just like Hashem had the humility, right, to marry Klal Yisrael. So if you think you're the greatest guy, which by the way, probably means you're just a big bal gaiva, right, have the humility to not be too good for everyone to get married. That's the idea. But the Tashbetz Katan, he goes through countless practices that we do at a wedding and shows how all of them are rooted in what happened at Har Sinai, which is why it's so important when Rabbi Nachman is going to teach us all of these different minhagim by a wedding. You should know that everything is very significant. I was at the wedding of Yonah Leibowitz last night, Arya Leibowitz's son. It was a big wedding. And I was sitting next to someone at the chuppah, and they walked their son, Rabbi Leibowitz and his wife, walked their son down holding candles, as is a practice. So someone sitting next to me said, well, where does that come from? What's the inyan of carrying neiros when you walk down to the chuppah? I said, there's a lot of inyanim, right? But everything is significant. Some say that the father holds a ner and the mother holds a ner and they walk their child to the chuppah, right? We know that a marriage, the purpose of getting married, at least even in a halachic sense, one could argue that marriage is itself not even a mitzvah, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It creates the possibility of what? Of the mitzvah of Pur-Ravu, which is the first mitzvah of the Torah. Right? So some of the Svarim say that the gematria of Ner is 250. If you hold two neros on the way down, as is the practice, so ner plus ner is 500. 500 is gematria pururvu. So on the way to the chuppah, we're saying that the purpose of going to the chuppah is that this will now create the possibility of Amir Tashem bringing more Jewish children into the world. But everything we do at a wedding is significant. So the Tashbetz Katan writes, I have it here, you don't have it in front of you. He says, he writes in his sefer, after he goes through many, he goes through everything that we do at a wedding. Why do we have this number of brachos? Why do we have a minyan for this? Why do we stand like this? Why do we do like that? All these fascinating things. He says, Nakud hai klala biyadecha, you should take this rule in your hand. Kol haminhagim shal chasim v'shal kala anu lameidin mimatan Torah. Everything we do at a wedding, Mir Tashem, when you're zochet to get married, it's a microcosm, right? It's a review of everything that happened at Matan Torah. Shashem hayamara atzmo kechasa neged kala shehem Yisrael. That Hashem was the chasa and we were the kala. So it's an amazing thing. Right? That becomes the model for all weddings. Okay, but let's learn about some of these Breslov wedding practices. Again, some may make more sense to us than others. Some of them are still practiced today, some are not. And then we'll talk a little bit more about the marriage of the Jewish people in Hashem. Okay, so let's read inside, a little bit with Pashtos. We'll read what Rabbi Nachman says. If you like it, great. If we're not sure what it means, also great. Attaching ourselves to a tzaddik. Masha omrim alachasan, it's verse number one. It says Sichas Haran. Masha omrim alachasan milsa de bidichusa v'omrim mikodem Allah. That which we say at a chasana, that we make milsa de bidichusa, we make all sorts of, you know, light matters, and we say all sorts of funny and interesting things. So, for example, we say Allah. Right? Allah means go up. What does that mean? Remez she'isha ola imo v'eino yoredes imo. I told you the Gemara says you should go down a level and get married. Right? But the Gemara also says in Meseches Ksubis in several places that the isha is ola imo v'eino yoredes imo, which refers to what? One's socioeconomic status. That means that if you marry, if you're a wealthy guy and you marry a woman who's not wealthy, so then she has to be treated like a person who's a wealthier person, right? She has to be given things that are appropriate for her, you know, for her socioeconomic status. Right? But Aisha is ola imo ve'eno yoredes imo, which means that if a rich woman marries a poor man, he has to make sure that he still provides for her according to her status. So she only can go up, and she doesn't go down. Right? And the Gemara uses this in a variety of different ways. So we say, "Arachasana v'zeh Allah b'milta d'bichusa." We say to the chasan, "Go up." Hainu ola imo l'chol simcha v'tov v'tanug, aval eino yored this imo. We say to the chasan, right, that we hope that this wedding, that this marriage, is only going to be an aliyah, and is not in any way going to be a yerida. That the simcha should continue to go up and up, and the tanug should go up and up. That's what we say at we say to the chasen. Okay. Masha mechasen es akala bedek tuch. That which we cover the kala with a veil, right? A bedekin. A dek tuch. A dek se'if. A scarf. Ki akala romezes l'rachel. Because the kala alludes to Rachel. Which in the Zohar is referred to as an ulemta shapirta, a beautiful woman. The Leisla Einan, who doesn't have eyes. Why do we cover the eyes of the Kala? Now, Kabbalistically, this is referring to the Svira of Malchus, which is the lowest of the Sviros. It's corresponding to the Shechina, which is hidden in this world. Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, on the one hand, is very revealed in the world. We can try to feel Hashem's presence. On the one hand, our eyes are not able to see Hashem. That's why when we accept our commitment to Hashem on a daily basis, we cover our eyes. In other words, we accept upon ourselves to try to see Hashem, even if we can't see Hashem. So Rachel Imeinu, the Shechina, Malchus, whatever you want to call it, is an ulemta shapirta, a beautiful young woman who doesn't have eyes. Gam remez al b'chinas kvod alokim haster davar. And it also hints what it says in Mishle, right, that a kvod alokim, a godly source of honor or glory, is in a state of concealment. So I want to just read you one interesting thing that I saw in this edition of Rav Aryeh Rosenfeld's Shi'urim on Sichas Saran. He says something very, very interesting. He says, why is the Bedekin sort of, again, the introduction to the Chuppah? Right? I mean, nowadays at the Chuppah we do Kiddushin and Nisuin, we say Harayat Mekudesh Asli, we give the ring. Right? We have the Chuppah, we have the Yichud room. But everything starts with the Bedekin, in a certain sense. Right? When the kala is covered, the covering of the bride. Right? And again, in this, you know, in the bigger picture, Hashem is the chassan and we're the bride. Right? It's merames to a certain type of tznius that the Jewish people have to have, and it's sort of fundamental to our relationship with Hashem. So he writes here something very interesting. He says, the covering of the kala's face teaches us another point, a very vital point, which is the foundation of our religion. The foundation of our religion is called Taras HaMishpacha, purity of family life. Only with this purity can there be a perpetuation of the Jews as a people. Right? We need Taras HaMishpacha. We need halachos of the mitzvah tznius, he says. And then he says something very interesting. He says, there are two basic mitzvahs in the Torah that represent faith in Hashem. What are they? He says, one is Shabbos. Right? If you don't keep Shabbos, it's the ultimate expression of one's belief or disbelief in Hashem. And he says, there's something else we do the rest of the week, right, that we know that Shabbos replaces. What is that? Tefillin. Right? On Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin because tefillin is called an os. And Shabbos is called an os. So on Shabbos, we replace our tefillin with Shabbos, which means that tefillin is really also an expression of Emunah. Just like Shabbos is an expression, maybe the ultimate expression of Emunah, tefillin is an awesome expression of Emunah. Why is tefillin an expression of Emunah? Because what I'm doing by tying my arm opposite my heart is that I'm binding my actions and my emotions to Hashem. I put on my tefillin shel rosh, and I attach my mind to Hashem. It's a sign of bittul to Hashem, subservience to Hashem. So then he says here, women keep Shabbos, but women don't wear tefillin. So what is the tefillin for a woman? He says an amazing thing. I never thought about this. What are they to do to show their faith in Hashem? He says the answer is tznius. The Zohar Kadosh says that even though according to the Gemara, the laws of tznius means to cover the arm up to the elbow, right? Me'ikar adin, al pi halacha, a woman has to cover up to her elbow. The lower part of her arm is not considered erva, according to normative halacha in the Gemara. But according to the Zohar HaKadosh, in Parshas Naso, it's even more important to cover the arm up to the wrist. That's what the Zohar says. That's why many, you know, from women, cover all the way to, again, al pi halacha, to the elbow. Right? But there are women who cover their forearm as well. Why? This is parallel to the extent of the tefillin. Never thought about that in a million years. The same way the straps of the tefillin go from the top of the arm into the wrist. So for a woman, tznius, right, is her expression of amunah like tefillin. Isn't that interesting? And then he says, and the head part of the tefillin, which is even more important, is represented by the covering of the hair by a woman, right? Which is a halacha according to everyone. Right? Meaning the Zohar has a chumrah that a woman should cover all the way to the wrist. Right, but covering your hair, right, a woman who is married is not allowed to uncover her hair. Her hair is considered erva. It is as much a forbidden part of the body as any of the other hidden parts. Right? And therefore, tznius is equivalent to the mitzvah of tefillin for men. Just as for men, the mitzvah of tefillin symbolizes faith in Hashem, so too the mitzvah of tznius for women symbolizes their faith in Hashem, and this makes them perfect bali emuna. This is what the kala does at the time of the wedding. She covers her hair for the first time, because until she is married, the hair of a girl is not considered erva. Right? But the arm has to be covered already from a younger age. Right? Again, one could make the case that girls should cover their hair already at a younger age. Obviously, that's not at all our practice. And then he goes on and he talks, and again, this tzaddik, or Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, was teaching Breslov Torah in America, way before most people were, right, was probably talking to a lot of hippies who had long hair. And he goes on and he speaks here about the importance of having short hair and why growing your hair out is not considered a good thing. It's dinim, and of course when you read all sorts of interesting things about why too much hair is not a good thing. But for a woman, right, she can have long hair, but she has to cover her hair. She has to conceal her hair. And that's bechinas tefillin shel rosh. Okay, so the bedekin, what he's saying here, right, the bedekin, going back to the Sicha Saran now, the bedekin, which is the covering of the kala, which in many ways is the covering of the shechina, right, is fundamental to our ability to interact with Hashem in this world. That balance of Hashem concealing and revealing at the same time. Very interesting. Okay, the third one. Masha mashlichin oifin, chitin v'kedoma. That which we throw, oifin, baked goods, That's how they translated it into English one. Right? I would have thought it meant chitin. I would have thought it meant like, what does it say in that one? Baked goods. I ever see that at a chasna? You throw baked goods at the chasna?
Yeah, throw pies.
You throw what?
Pies.
Pies at the chasna? I never saw anyone throw a pie at the chasna. V'zeh shem ha'shlichan al ha'chasna oifin. Why do we throw baked goods at the chasna? Because, right, there are angels called ofanim. El asher yeh shama haruach lecha shama yelchu ofanim. That the ofanim, the angels called ofanim, are connected apparently to the union of ruach. And the chasin is bechinas ruach. I have no idea what that means. If anyone has an explanation, I'm happy to listen.
Can you say that again, please?
Yeah, it says in the pasuk in Yecheskel that el asher yiyah shama haruach lalechas shama yelchu haofanim. The ofanim have something to do with ruach. And since the chasin is the bechina of ruach, so we want to connect him to the ofanim, which are angels, but we don't have ofanim, so we throw oifin, which means baked goods, which is merame, similar to the word ofanim. Okay. It sounds cool. Yeah, it sounds cool. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what it means. Again, the Gemara talks about throwing kernels of wheat that may not, you know, get ruined. You can pick them up afterwards.
Meaning he doesn't choose where he goes. He listens to his wife.
Maybe.
Isn't that
really
like on Hanukkah?
They throw stuff out of the They throw towels. He spoke about throwing towels. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Mashenoisin kol echod maos shekarin Shabbos. That which they give out money to people who are dancing. You ever see that? You ever do a good dance at a wedding? Someone came over and said, a great dance, gave you money? Mashenoisin kol echod maos, yeah. Shekarin Shabbos v'shul hamarakten. That which they give out Shabbos gelt to the people who dance at the wedding. Al sheim malche tzevaos yidoidun. Hainu heim marakten. Says that the angels are dancing, and the pasuk says unavas bayis, but one who stays back to chaleg shalal divides the spoils, and bayis to chaleg shalal is Rashi Tevos Shabbos, so we give out this Shabbos gelt to people who dance because the pasuk says yidodun, which means dancing. However, I don't know what's going on here. I told you we're going to be posh. We're just going to read the words. Danny, welcome. Good luck. We don't know what's going on, so if you do, please tell us. Okay, let's do the next one. The next one makes a little more sense.
I might know something for the one.
Baked goods and angels? Yeah, let's hear.
Baked goods, I have no clue.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Like, maybe, because like in place where it mentions the Fanim, and it says Ruach, the Fanim are kind of angels that they just don't have, they can't decide where they want to go. They're part of like the Mekava, mm-hmm.
Right?
Wherever like the Chayos went, the Fanim went, that's what the Pasuk says. So maybe there's some connection.
Okay. That, you know. So meaning the Chassan had certain uncertainties, who he's going to marry, where his life's going to go, and now he's
and
following.
Maybe
following his Ravitzin. Okay, it's not crazy. It's a good shot. Throw some baked goods at him.
Throwing baked goods comes
from. I don't know. I have no idea.
It better be.
Maybe it's like, it's a bit a blessing. Your wife should be a good baker. I don't know. I really don't know. Okay, let's try the next one. The next one's a little easier for us.
I don't think you can say things like that anymore.
This goes back to, you can't say anything anymore. This goes back to our introduction. Hachasana hi v'china sinai. Hachasana is like har sinai. Again, so that we learned, right? We said the chasana is modeled after har sinai. Everything we do at a chasana is modeled after har sinai. Kamo shekasu biyom chasuna so ze maimed har sinai. So let's pause and look at that for a second. That's a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tanis. Okay, if you look in source number 2, the Gemara has the following drasha on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. V'chein hu Omer, on the second side of the page. I think it's Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel who makes this drasha. Se'ena ure'ena b'no Sion. Se'ena, go out, ure'ena, and see, daughters of Zion. V'melech Shlomo, go take a look at King Shlomo. Ba'atara she'itra lo imo, with the crown that his mother adorned him with. B'yom chasuna so, b'yom simchas libo. B'yom chasuna so, b'yom simchas libo. On the day of his chasana, and on the day of what? On the day of his heart's rejoicing. So, I think it's Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in the Mishnah who said, B'yom chasuna so, ze matan Torah. The day of the chasana refers to matan Torah. V'yom Simchas Libo is the day of Binyan Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean? The pasuk says, go out and see, daughters of Zion, go out and see, right, the crown that King Shlomo was adorned with on the day of Ischasana. Who's King Shlomo? So sometimes Shlomo is being meramis to Hashem. HaMelech Shalom Shalom. So what was the chasna of Hashem? Bayom chasuna so, zematan Torah, says the Mishnah. Right? Zematan Torah. Now the truth is, if you actually remember this Mishnah at the end of Maseches Tanis, for those who have learned it before, it was talking about a few moments before, it was talking about what? Tu B'Av and Yom HaKippur. The Mishnah says the two greatest Jewish holidays are not Chanukah, not Purim, not Lag BaOmer, not Yom HaTzmaut. What is it? It's Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Those are the two greatest days. The Gemara is busy trying to figure out Yom Kippur, we've heard of. The day of Slicha, Mechila, Kapara. Tu B'Av, what is it? And then the Gemara says that on Tu B'Av they used to have a co-ed dance party. The girls would go out to the field and they would dance around and they would say, Bachurim, check us out and find the spouse. Sounds controversial? It's a Mishnah. I can't tell you what to do with it. But the part that most people don't even realize is when the Mishnah says that they would go out and have these dancings in the field and the men would come out and the young men would come out and try to find a match, right? That also took place on Yom Kippur. On Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur they did that. Which means Yom Kippur afternoon, right, in that little break that you have before Mincha, they would go out to the field, they would have this, this co-ed dance party. Doesn't sound very Yom Kippur like, no? That's what it says. So, right? Yeah, exactly. I guess. It's interesting. Yeah, it says they would exchange clothing. Clothing, so people wouldn't, Yeah, but that's interesting. I guess, after someone's been fasting for a whole day, you get a sense of who they really are, You get a sense of who you're really going to marry. Yeah, maybe there's no Yitzhahara on Yom Kippur, so you can... Okay. But if it's only about Yom Kippur, what's the chasna of Yom Kippur? What's the chasna of Yom Kippur? Why is Yom Kippur Matan Torah? Can anyone answer that question? So Rashi tells us, the source number three, Rashi says, I'll tell you why Yom Kippur is Matan Torah. Why is Yom Kippur Matan Torah? Did we get the Torah on Yom Kippur? We got the Torah... And Sivan. You got the Torah on Vav or Zayin Sivan. So Rashi says in source number 3, Zematan Torah, Yom HaKippurim Shenitnu Bo Luchos HaAchronos. Ah, we forget about that. We always think about Yom Kippur as a day of tshuva. But Yom Kippur is also a day of Torah. Why? Because when did we get the second Luchos? Right? After Moshe broke the Luchos, he goes back up, he's up there, he comes back down 40 days later, it's Yom Kippur. It's Yom Kippur. Right? Comes back down to Yom Kippur and gives us the second Luchos. So it's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. It's a day of Kabbalah Satorah, which is fascinating to think about. Okay? So a wedding is like Har Sinai. Going back to Sicha Saran now. Yeah, turn back to the front side of the page. Yeah.
That's kind of like the Kedushin in Israel. How it's like the first sentence feel like Kedushin and the second sentence is for Harrison.
Well, we can talk about that. There's a lot to talk about there. I'll add a little bit about that. Because, again, exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu... Let's talk about it now for a minute. Let's talk about that for a second. All right, again, we started off by saying that everything that we do at a wedding is modeled after Har Sinai, right? The ultimate wedding between Knesset Yisrael and Hashem. Let's just finish this tiny little paragraph from Rabbeinu, and then we'll... Okay, so go back to side one, the paragraph that begins HaChasna, the fifth paragraph. HaChasna hi b'china Sinai. So now we understand what that means. Is that Maimed Har Sinai? Right? Maimed Har Sinai is like a chasana. Right? And again, even though the Gemara over there is talking about Yom Kippur is also like Kabbalah Satorah. It's also like a Har Sinai type of experience. V'Sinai b'gematria Sulam. Sinai has the same gematria as Sulam. Interesting. What do we know about our ladder? When Yaakov Avinu had his dream and he saw angels going up and down the ladder, Hainu Rikudin Shabishas Rikudin Ola Vyored, Ki Kain Derech Rikudin Shaola as Gufo Vyored as Gufo. And therefore, since Sinai is Gematria Sulam, and in Yaakov's dream, the ultimate, if I told you to pick a Sulam, pick a ladder in the Torah, you'd say Yaakov's dream about the ladder. There were angels who were going up and down. So at a wedding, which is modeled after Sinai, and Sinai's got your sulam, so we go up and down at a wedding. That's why we do dances, where we go, you know, like up and down. Yeah? That's like the angels going up and down the ladder. All right. Let's go back to what David was saying. How did Hashem marry us at Har Sinai? Anyone know? Let's think about this for a second. How did Hashem marry us at Har Sinai? Yeah? He gave us something. What did he give us? How do you marry a woman? Haisha nikneis b'shlosh shidrachim. Yeah? Kesef, shtar, or bia. You don't have to marry her with all three, right? Kesef, or shtar, or bia. Nowadays, we use a ring. That's pretty standard. And a ring is shava kesef, right? The Seder Kedushin will say to the Eidei Kedushin under the chuppah, does this ring look like it's worth a pruta? It's probably worth more than a pruta. I'll ask the chassan, is this your ring? Yes, it's my ring. Did you pay for it with your own money? He says, yes, I pay for it with my own money. Sometimes he'll look at his dad, and his dad will be, yeah, it's not you paid for it with your own money. Yeah, it's as if you paid for it with your own money. Fine, good, it's yours. Okay, and then he'll say, Hariat Mekudeshes Li, with this ring. But because Baruch Hu didn't want to just marry us with one of the three, is the ultimate wedding. We should probably do all three, no? So Hashem, the Baal Turim says, Hashem married us with Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. By the way, when you put on, we'll get to Chuppah in a second. By the way, when we put on our tefillin in the morning, right, as we bind the tefillin around our hand, right, what do we say? Ve'erastichli, right? Harei mikudeshesli, ve'erastichli. How many times do we say ve'erastich, which is the lashon of erusin, the lashon of kedushin? We say it three times. Why do we say it three times? How many ways did Hashem marry us? And the answer is all three ways. What was the kesef?
The crowns.
What was the kesef?
The crowns.
Oh, the crowns we got out of Sinai. Interesting. That's the kesef. Interesting. Okay. What else is the? What else could be the kesef? What else is the kesef? The luchos. Interesting. Interesting. The luchos. Very interesting. Very interesting. Some say it was the luchos. Marsha says it was the luchos. Baal Turim says it was the spoils we got on the way out of Mitzrayim. Right. It was the possessions we took on the way out of Egypt, right? And I guess the Bizas Hayam, we got by the Kriyas Yamsuf, yeah? Although some say it was the Luchos. The Luchos were actually made out of sapphire, very valuable. So maybe that was the Kedushin. What was the Shtar? The Torah is the Shtar. Right? What's the Bia? Maybe the Shechina, Hashras HaShechina, right? The presence of Hashem in our midst by the Mishkan. Different ways to understand exactly the intimate bond that was forged between the Jewish people and Hashem, but on a certain level there's kesef, there's shtar, and there's bia. So let me ask you an interesting question: why did Moshe break the luchos? The Egel Azav. Why did Moshe break the luchos? Because what? They're taking advantage of, they're misusing the kesef.
They're making another kesef.
So there's a lot. The Sefer HaMakna by Pinchas Halevi Horowitz.
Can they use the spoils
for the... So again, yes. They had too much money, and that's part of the reason they ended up making the Egel Azav. But again, depending on what you consider to be kesef, and again, there's a lot written about this. It's a gevaldik sugya. Because the Sefer HaMakna, Pinchas Halevi Horowitz, the brother of the Rebbe of Shmelk of Nikolsburg, right? These great tzaddikim. So in his Sefer HaMakna, in the introduction, he goes through all of Kabbalah Satorah, and he explains how everything that happened there was modeled after the halachos, and follow the halachos of a wedding. Mamish everything. Everything that happens. Right? It's interesting. So why does Moshe break the luchos? Let's think about this for a second. Yeah, let's hear, Matthew, let's hear. So the Medrash says, right, once they started to get involved with the Egel, so that's adultery. So by breaking the Luchos, what was Moshe doing? Moshe was trying to, what, as the Medrash even seems to allude to, right, better, if we're going to be involved in a illicit relationship, better to be involved in that relationship as a penuya, as an unmarried woman, right, than to do it as a married woman. So Moshe breaks the luchos. But the Sefer HaMakna says the following. It's gevaldik. He has like all this lumdus on it. He says, if you say that the spoils of Mitzrayim were already the Kedushin, so then we already have Kedushin. So what's the luchos? And I'll ask you further. Moshe Rabbeinu, right? In bringing us the luchos, what role is he playing? He's playing a shliach. Can you get married through a shliach? Can you give kedushin through a shliach? Sure. So now, let's think about this for a second. How does shlichus work? How does it work as a shliach? If someone's a shliach, right? If someone's a shliach to deliver kedushin from the chassan to the kal, yeah? So there's two different ways that we could understand that shlichus, right? You could be a shliach leholacha, shliach to deliver it, in which case, until you complete the delivery, it hasn't been delivered. Or you could be a shliach leKabbalah. You could be a shliach to receive it. So when Moshe got the luchos, was he already receiving the kedushin on behalf of Klal Yisrael? Or was he a shliach leholacha and he was on his way to deliver it? So you'd have to say, I guess what? That he's a shliach to deliver it, right? Otherwise, if he's a shliach to receive it, once he receives it, we're already married. Then you can't, right? A woman can't get married and then throw her ring in the garbage and say we're not married.
Say no.
We're married. What about the spoils of Mitzrayim? So the Hafla is this whole, again, he has all these amazing proofs. Genius, super genius. But he works it all out. He says, really, what happened was, is that Hashem gave us some kasef on the way out of Mitzrayim. And it was Kedushin al-Tanai that we accept the Luchos. So therefore, right, when Moshe goes and he gets the luchos and he's bringing them to Klal Yisrael, so that would complete the Tanai. But when Moshe sees that the Jewish people are not being loyal, so he smashes the luchos, and that retroactively makes our aveira not as bad. But there's all sorts of interesting questions, like when does Hashem, right, one of the rules of Maseches Kedushin is that to do Kedushin, you have to give the ring, you also have to say something. You have to say, Hare at mikudeshes li. What if you just say Hareya Mekudeshes? If you don't say the word Li, it's no good. Right? That's why Hashem says what? What does Hashem say to Klal Yisrael? Hashem says you should be to me a segula. Ve'yisem Li segula. It's gotta say Li. It's gotta say Li. Right? That's why when we put on the tefillin in the morning, we say what? Ve'rastich Li. 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 We say it three times. All right, we got to make the kedushin bichal all the way. Okay, but again, the Sefer HaMakna, you know, is very busy working these things out. Right, if you say that Hashem gave the kedushin and didn't complete it until much later, right? So how does that work? Right. So the Gemara says, well, as long as you're still from the time, if you gave the kedushin and you didn't, you know, if you gave the money. Or if you made the statement and then you didn't give the money till later, if there's a detachment between the statement and the giving, as long as you were still busy talking about things related to the wedding, it's okay. So maybe when Hashem was teaching the Torah to Moshe, that's talking about the wedding. I mean, he has all these really creative and interesting ideas. Right? But the dancing at a wedding, says Rabbi Nachman, when you go up and down at a wedding, that's like the angels going up and down in the dream of Yaakov Avinu, which in some way is connected to Har Sinai. Pretty wild ideas. Okay? And then he goes back to this Indian of the Shabbos gelt that you give out to the dancers. Okay. Good. Let's keep going. Masha Chosin Dorish. Yeah? You see about halfway down the first side? Masha Chosin Dorish. The Chosin gives a drasha. You've been to a wedding where the Chosin says something at the Chosin Tish. It's a nice thing. Chosin gives a little drasha. Right? So since this is a reenactment of Har Sinai, there should be some Torah at the wedding, no? Just like Hashem gave a drasha at Har Sinai. So the chasen at the wedding, right? Hashem gave a big speech at Har Sinai. I'm Hashem your God, etc. Everyone's giving out money at the wedding. I've been to a lot of weddings in my life. I never got any money at a wedding. I sometimes see people going around collecting money at weddings, but no one ever walked over to me and said, "Oh, you did a good dance. Here's some money." So why do we give out drasha gelt? Lirmos alisa lamarum shavisa shevi. Pasuk says in Tehillim, Moshe Rabbeinu, you went up to the heights of heaven. You captured a captive, and the end of the pasuk is lakachta matanos. And you took prizes. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu convinced the angels that he was worthy of getting the Torah, right? So even the Malach HaMavis, even the Satan gave him a gift. So when the Chassan gets up and he gives a good drasha, so we give him gifts. Okay, so that's the drasha gishank that we give to the chassan. All right. And then he says, Masha chassan dorish hadrasha, that which the chassan gives a drasha, himo elis lezivugim. A drasha is good for a zivug. Why is a drasha good for a zivug? And why is a drasha good for the bonding of chassan and kala? Hopefully they'll be blessed with children in the right time. Because the pasuk says, when Yaakov had his dream, which again we said is somehow connected to a chasana, Vayishkav b'makomahu, he lay down, he slept in that place, and Vayishkav can be understood as Yesh Chaf Beis Osio. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. When you say words, or you connect ideas, right, it's like making a marriage. You're binding together different concepts. When I say, oh, there's a Gemara, and Makos says like this, and there's another Gemara in Chulin and Dafyut Aleph that says like that, right? That's our Tosos that we're working on in Dav Zayin and Aleph and Makos. So when I say, oh, this and this, how do they work together? I'm making a Shidduch. I'm taking two seemingly disparate ideas, and I'm bringing them together, and I'm giving birth to a new idea. So when the Chassan says a Jerusha at his wedding, and he puts together different ideas, the same way the Chassan is coming from his family, and the Kala is coming from her family, and now they're going to come together and build a new family. Right? So a drasha, using the 22 letters of the Torah, that itself creates a certain zivuk. That creates a certain connection. Okay? Then he says, hapristikus, some type of dance move that they used to do. Sha'oysen b'shas v'kudim. Right? Some type of up and down dance move. Zebachinas anochi eiredimcha mitzrayim v'anochi a'alcha. Like we just read this past Shabbos. When Hashem says to Yaakov, I'll go down to Mitzrayim with you, and I'll come back up with you. Ki golis Mitzrayim hayi b'shvil levar nitzoytze keri shal adam harishon. Talk about this more when we get closer to Shovim. That the golis Mitzrayim in some way is a tikkun for the lost seed of Adam HaRishon, when Adam and Chava separated for a period of time. And it caused all sorts of whatever, spiritual damage. So going to Mitzrayim, which is Ervas Haaretz, a sexually immoral place, is part of the tikkun of Adam HaRishon. And therefore, since the chasana, right, now that the chasan has a wife who's permitted to him, and they'll be able to be intimate together in a kosher way, in a holy way, the chasana is a tikkun v'yichud habris, so therefore we do dances of going down and up, being merames to how the Jews went down to Mitzrayim, and then we were able to come up from Mitzrayim, and then we went to Har Sinai. Okay. Why do we interrupt the drasha? Ever see that? When the chassan gives a drasha, the chever starts interrupting him. He starts singing songs in the middle. Mashapoyskin as a drasha, zebuchinas shivrei luchos. We interrupt the drasha. That's like the breaking of the luchos. We break up the drasha. Hinting to the fact that the luchos are broken. Interesting. This next one is not our practice. Right? Not exactly in this way. Hashoyshvin malbish hakitol la'achasim. The best man, right? The good friend of the groom puts the kittel on the chasan. That's not our practice. The parents usually put the kittel on the chasan. That's the practice. But where does this idea come from? Zeremez v'yosev yoshes yodo aleinecha. It says about Yaakov is going to go down to Mitzrayim, he's come up from Mitzrayim, and the end of that pasuk is v'yosef, Yosef will place his hand over your eyes. Ki Yosef, Yosef is the idea of the shoishvin, of the good friend of the groom. The kittel who beged mason. And a kittel is very similar to burial shrouds. And I have no idea what those two things have to do with each other. Okay, that's the practice. And lastly, masha mahapchin es atzman, that which we do somersaults at a wedding. Those who know how to do that. Zebachinas umosha Allah, vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. This alludes to the fact that what? That Moshe, a person from this world, went up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that world, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, came down. So the ups and downs represents kind of the twirling and the swirling of the somersault. Shatachtonim alu lamala, valyonim yardu lamata. The one from down below went up, and the one from above came down. And when you do a somersault at a wedding, it's not just good shtick, but you're reminding everyone there that what? That the root of every wedding is the marriage of Hashem and the Jewish people, where Moshe Rabbeinu goes up, and Hashem comes down. A merger of the worlds. Chevra, I want to just end, if you turn over to the second side, just for a couple more minutes. I want to just highlight one thing about the wedding of Har Sinai. Because the wedding of Har Sinai, there's two very different traditions about exactly what the feeling was at the wedding of Har Sinai. Right? Again, it's a very unlikely shidduch that Hashem is going to marry us. Rus and Boaz are going to get married. Very unlikely. So we know the Gemara tells us that they stood on the pasuk Vayisyatzu b'tachtes sahar. They stood at the foot of the mountain. The Gemara says we learn from here Malamed shakafa kadosh baruch olam sahar kegigas. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos daf peches in source number 4. Hashem put a mountain over our head. What did Hashem say to us? Take the Torah, or else. Right? A little strange. Are you allowed to force someone into a wedding, into a marriage? Kedushin against the woman's will. Very strange. Right. By the way, right, Hashem held the mountain over our head. Right. Well, there's a very strange thing we say in the bracha at a chuppah, at a kedusha, at the time of a wedding. Right. The bracha that we say is that what? Mikadesh amo Yisrael al yedei chuppah v'kidushin. The Masada Kedusha makes a bracha. Mikadesh amo Yisrael al yedei chuppah v'kidushin. What's wrong with that bracha? Yeah, Kedushin comes before the chuppah. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 8, he says an interesting thing. The Aruch HaShulchan, in his writings in Halacha, he says, why do we say, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael al Yedei Chuppah V'Kiddushin? He says, V'yesh Omrim, Dezeu HaChuppah V'Kiddushin Shol Klal Yisrael. Because when we make that bracha at a wedding, even though we do Kiddushin before the chuppah, right? Chuppah means the Yichud room. Chuppah means the Nesuin, whatever, consummating the marriage. That all happens later. So why do we say chuppah? Why is the bracha chuppah before Kiddushin? Because one can argue that at the time that the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai, Hashem first put the chuppah over our head. Kafaleim harki gigas, he says. Right? That the Kiddushin of Klal Yisrael, Sheneskadshu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu b'shas Matan Torah, the marriage of the Jewish people to Hashem at Matan Torah, the chuppah was Har Sinai, Shekafa alinu asahar kegigus, Ve'amadnu tachas ahar ketachas ha-chuppah. We stood first under the chuppah, that was the mountain, and then the kedushin was Matan Torah, was the giving of the Torah, which happened after. So the chuppah came before the kedushin. The truth is, on a certain level, we do that actually at a wedding also, because the chas and the kal are standing under a chuppah, and only then he says harei mikudeshesli. Again, the question is whether that chuppah called halachically chuppah or nesuin. But the point is, the bracha that we make at every wedding is a throwback to Har Sinai, which is a beautiful thing. So what was the feeling at Har Sinai? Right? So you read this Gemara, and it's so painful. The Gemara says, Hashem's literally threatening us, take the Torah, I'm going to drop this mountain on your head. Shom tehei kvuraschem, there you shall be buried. It's even scary if you look in source number 5, in the Medrash and Shir HaShirim. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im atem mekablam aleichem torasi mutav. If you take my Torah, then good. Ve'im lav, and if not, harini koivesh aleichem ahar hazev hoiregeschem. I will crush you, I will press down this mountain upon you, and I will kill you. Lovely, no? So for modeling things after Har Sinai, if I saw anyone, God forbid, talking to their wife like this, or their future wife, someone they're courting in marriage, with anything that was remotely similar to this, I'd have the man arrested, you know? What kind of image is this? And what's strange is that there's another strand of thought in Chazal that paints the exact opposite image. This image paints the chuppah, the mountain over our head, as what? As literally a gun to our head. A threat. Take the Torah or else. But if you look at sources 6 and 7, if you look in the Mechilta, another Medrash, Mechilta Rabbi Yishmael, Medrash on Shmos, if you look in Shir HaShirim Rabbah, in source number 7, right, they paint a different picture. They paint a picture of what? Of a Kodesh Baruch Hu protecting us, spreading his wings over us, so to speak. Mechilta says in source number 6, the Jews stood betach the sahar, right, at the foot of the mountain. Malamed shenitla shahar mimakomo. V'karvu va'omdu tacha sahar. Hashem picked up the mountain and he held it over us. Okay, that part sounds familiar. But what pasuk does it quote? In the second line of source 6. Aleim mefurash b'kabbalah. About this we have a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Yonasi b'chag ve'hasela. Like a dove that's seeking shelter in the chag ve'hasela. B'seisr ha'madrega. Like a dove that's seeking shelter in the cleft of a rock. That's looking for somewhere, a quiet place to rest. A place where it feels protected. And it's in that way, Harini esmareich, Hashmini es kolech, ki kolech orev umareich naveh. Your appearance is pleasant, is sweet. Your voice is delightful. Right? So we have these two very different pictures. We have on the one hand, like the thunder and the fire of Har Sinai, by the way, I mentioned before, Chasan and Kala, right? Sometimes they're escorted down the aisle by their parents holding flames. The Tashbetz Katan says that's because we had lightning at Har Sinai. It's all Har Sinai. So you have this one image of Hashem threatening to kill us. You have this other image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us. Shir HaShirim Rabba, source number 7. Ani Chavatzelis HaSharon, Ani Hi V'Chaviva Ani. Ani Hi Shayisi Chavuya B'Tzilo Shel Sinai. I sheltered you in the shadow of Sinai. Right? A beautiful image of Hashem protecting us. Nu Sochever, which is it? What are you supposed to feel about Kabbalah Satara? And the answer is it's both. Of course it's both. Right? A marriage has to come with a sense of awe and trepidation, right? An absolute commitment. And that's the same thing is true with us and Hashem. We can't be chet ha'egel types of Jews. We can't be people who are cheating on our spouse. Our ultimate spouse is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the one hand, there has to be the sense of what? The sense of awesome, almost burdensome obligation. Huge responsibility that we carry on our shoulders. And at the same time, of course, it's the sweetest thing in the world. It's the greatest privilege in the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Right? That Moshe Rabbeinu goes out to gather the Jewish people, to bring them to Har Sinai. The Medrash in source number 9 says, Kechasan zesh u yotze lekas kala. Like a chasan who goes out to greet the kala. You've seen that at weddings, no? The chasan goes out to greet the kala. The Svardim, I think, they like walk like all the way down the aisle to, you know, escort the kala all the way. Right? Because the chasan at the chuppah is like Hashem. And the kala at the chuppah is like the Jewish people. Right? So Rabbi Nachman, again, I don't know what some of these mystical practices are, how to dance a certain way, how to move a certain way, while we're throwing baked goods at, you know, at the chasan and all sorts of interesting things. But you should just know, if anything, number one, we learn about the relationship that we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we should think about that as a wedding, with all of its responsibility and all of its joy. We should think about that in a serious way. And more than that, we should use this piece to understand that everything a Jew does in this world is significant. Everything we do, there's a reason. There's all sorts of reasons. There's layers upon layers. For even a simple minhag, you know, that people do. We sometimes don't even know why we do it, but it's being merames in the olamos, in the higher world, it's hinting to very deep things. Let's end with a little story in just the bottom of the page. This is from a little Hebrew sefer called B'yom Shenolad HaBal Shem Tov Nisraf HaGehenim. On the day the Baal Shem Tov was born, Gehenim was burnt up. I say, what does it mean for Gehenim to be burnt up? Good kash. Anyway, so in the sefer, it tells a story about the Rebbe of Savron. Pam achaz yoshev ha-Rebbe mi-Savron bein chasidov. V'heir al atzmo sheyochol limser din v'cheshbon al maisav u'machshavosav kol rega v'rega milifnei sheish esrei shana v'ad hayom. The Rebbe said, he was sitting with his chassidim, and he said, I could give a calculation, a din v'cheshbon, I could recall every second from the last 16 years. It's all crystal clear. I remember everything that I did. I literally can't remember if I davened shacharis this morning. But the Rebbe of Savran, he could recall, he said, I could give an accounting for every action, for every thought that I had, kol rega v'rega, from the last 16 years until today. V'chol tnua u'machshava kala b'zichira atzla. Every move, every thought, imagine. Kedja, you have to give an accounting of every thought you've had in the last 16 years and go through it, remember every detail of it. Amod min atzad ish echad v'tama ma'od b'choshu shad davar nemer al derech haflaga. So one of the fellows who was standing there to the side thought, for sure the Rebbe must be exaggerating. Right? He must be speaking, you know, hyperbole. It's not literal, it can't be. Here gishbekach Rebbe Misavran. Rebbe of Savran saw, he sensed, that one of the people there didn't believe him. Vishal Oso, he said to him, Ha'imata zocher as a chasna shalcha? He says, do you remember your wedding? Rebbe, my wedding, it's the greatest day of my life. Amar ha'ish hein, for sure. For sure. Vez bale akle zemar shenignu sham. Remember who the band was at your wedding? Of course, Rebbe, of course. You know how much time I spend talking to my kala, who should we have to get Ethan Katz? Is it worth it? It's a little more expensive. Vanashu zocher some ayre lechol prata. You remember what they served by the chasen sesh? Yeah, sure. And what the meal was? Sure. Remember this? Remember that? Yeah, 100%. Every detail of it. Analoha Rebbe Misavran v'amar etzli kol rega hu chasna chadasha. He says, my whole life is like a chasna. He says, I'm at the wedding forever. I'm always at the wedding. What does that mean? It means that if we realize that we're married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, if we realize that we're married to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then every second can be exciting, every second can be fresh, every second can be meaningful. Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. Every day is a new opportunity, every second is a new opportunity. And again, if this is all, if we have the schus, right, to be married to Hashem, don't take that for granted, don't get used to it. Unfortunately, when people get married, they have a lot of love and respect, and sometimes, lo aleinu, you see couples, you see as time goes on, they just take each other for granted, they don't appreciate each other anymore. And the relationship's not developing and growing, and it's not deep, and it's not energetic like it was when they first got married. Right? But the Rebbe of Savran was saying, you have to understand, by me, my marriage to Hashem is every second. And therefore my life is always fresh, it's always exciting, and every move that I make is purposeful and meaningful. Okay, so we're not going to be on that madrigal, but halavai, we should realize the schus of being married to Hashem, and we should realize the schus of being part of a people where every move, every minug, is rooted in very, very deep and holy and awesome ideas. And we should be zocha, those who are not married, we should be zocha to get married in the right time. And at your wedding, we'll throw baked goods at you. It's Hashem. Okay, shkaya.
Dollar bills is also the best dancers.
The what? Dollar bills is the best dancers. $100 bills, okay. You can see what we're going to hold you to. Okay, I don't want to add anything. Any comments, thoughts? Matthew had a comment, yeah.
I was just thinking, when I mentioned the part where he's like rejoicing with his heart once he gets married, I thought like there's a thing
that's right. That's right. There's a sense of shleimus that comes with right. I mean, the chassan gives a drasha also at the wedding, right? He feels he should be able to sense my level of Torah is totally new. I'm a different person when you get married. I mentioned last week. You get an aliyah before. You get an aliyah at the ofruf, then you get called to the Torah again, the Shabbos of Sheva Brachos. Why? Because we want you to see what the Torah looked like before you were married. I want you to see the Torah. It's a different Torah after you're married. It's not worse. It's much better. Much, much better. Yeah. Okay, Chavra, what time is it? 10:30. Good. So let's take a 15-minute break, and then we'll...